If you're a flotsamist, you'll be glad it's Labor Day weekend. It's considered the start of the best flotsaming season, where you might find untold surprises washed up on the beach. In this part of the program, we'll look at flotsam through the eyes of an obsessive flotsamist and through the eyes of a child. First, Skye Moody. She's written a book about her lifelong fascination called Washed Up, The Curious Journeys of Flotsam and Jetsam. We caught up with her this morning, mid-search.
I am at Agate Beach, Oregon, which is on the central Oregon coast, just north of Newport, Oregon, and I am flotsaming, as distinguished from beachcombing.
Yeah, you know, you draw a key distinction there. You would not want to be considered a beachcomber.
Absolutely not. You can spot a beachcomber by their posture when they're walking on the beach. Their heads are held rather high, and they're sort of scanning the beach. And then they will get down on their knees, and they'll pick up shells. And that's about it. Most beachcombers like to pick up organic flotsam.
And you're not interested in the organic stuff. You really love the inorganic stuff.
I like the wacky, weird stuff that has fallen off cargo ship or, you know, traveled from Japan and floated on the current. And usually that means it's plastic and it's round and washed up on the beaches having traveled a very long way.
Which brings you to Agate Beach today.
Which brings me to Agate Beach because I heard a rumor about some great plastic toys that got dumped into the Pacific from a cargo ship from Japan, and I have a collection. So I'm looking for some.
Well, now, how would a rumor like that start circulating, and how would they know where this stuff was coming from?
Well, flotsamists are very good, even though flotsamists are very competitive. They won't admit that, but they are. They're very good about sharing information about stuff that's washing up.
Well, have you found anything yet?
Let's see what I have in my bag. I found a piece of something that's about 8 by 8 square plastic, and it looks like a window. It came out of, you know, a boat or something. And that came ashore. And let's see what else. And nothing. Wait a minute. No, this can't be true. I just looked through my binoculars.
What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing the sun hitting something that's just rolled up onto a dune. This couldn't be. The best, yeah?
I can't stand the suspense here,
Skye. Yeah, it is. It's a float. It's a glass float. Oh, my God. You know how the fishermen have nets?
Yeah.
And they have these floats. So the Japanese have the wonderful glass floats. And I just found one.
How big is it?
It's about the size of a big orange. I cannot believe this. Melissa, this is yours. This is yours. You don't know. You don't know how hard it is to find these things these days.
What color is it?
It's a green. It's a blue-green. It's really beautiful.
And that goes right in the bag?
Absolutely, right now. I just can't believe how lucky I got. I mean, in a few minutes, there are going to be beachcombers coming out here. Somebody else might have found it.
Well, Skye Moody, thanks for letting us share your little bit of flotsam nirvana today.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
That's flotsamist Skye Moody on her cell phone at Agate Beach, Oregon. Now to children's book author and illustrator David Wiesner. His latest book is titled simply Flotsam. No words, just lush watercolor images with incredible detail that tell the story of a curious boy at the beach and his remarkable find.
On his search along the beach one day, he finds this crab, which he gets down to eye level with and investigates. And as he's poking away at it, this large wave, unbeknownst to him, comes and crashes down and tosses him around and spits him back up on the beach. And as he looks down, the crab has run away. But sitting in the sand is an old Brownie-style box camera.
And it says Melville Underwater Camera. It's got barnacles all over it.
Exactly.
So the boy takes the camera, finds the film inside it, takes the film to get developed, and here's where things get really exciting because he's looking at these prints and he can't believe what he's seeing from this underwater camera.
Right. He runs back to the beach and opens the pack of photos that he's gotten developed, and before him are images of all sorts of strange and wonderful things happening underneath the waves. The first images of a school of fish, red snapper, in fact, going by. And as you look closer, you realize that one of them, in fact, is full of all sorts of clockwork gears and springs and is this mechanical fish.
Yeah, and the next page I'm looking is a family of octopus at the bottom of the sea. They're sitting on armchairs with
right,
reading lights.
In the background, you can in fact see there's a moving van that has fallen off the back of a ship, somehow ended up in the ocean. So these octopi have all taken the furnishings out of the back and set up a little living room scene.
Now, here's where things start getting even more cosmic. He starts looking at these pictures, and all of a sudden, it's not what's underwater, it's other kids. Pictures
right.
of kids holding pictures of kids holding pictures of kids.
Well, at this point, yes, I've set up the idea that there's all this fantastic stuff happening underwater. And when he reaches the last photo in the pack, there's not another strange, bizarre scene, but in fact, another kid. And as he begins to look closer, he can see that the kid in the picture is holding the picture of another kid, who's holding a picture of another kid, holding a picture of another kid, holding a picture of another kid. So he gets out his magnifying glass and begins to peer even deeper into this sequence of photos.
And as he gets deeper and deeper, they're taking him back in time.
Farther back in time through all the kids who have had the camera before him.
Now, should we give away what happens here at the end here?
Well, we follow the camera. It's after we've seen the boy experience the camera and what it has to offer, and he joins the chain of kids by taking his own picture and then finally tosses the camera back into the ocean. We then follow the camera and get to see the next journey through all the seas of the ocean, through all the different locales, until it is finally redeposited on the next beach, and the next kid finds it buried in the sand.
You know what's interesting to me, too, is that this boy is at the beach with his parents, but I don't think he ever shows them what he finds in this camera.
No, he doesn't. He shows them the fact that he found the camera, and mm-hmm. I threw in them going over to see the lifeguard to sort of make them responsible, to check out to see if it belonged to anybody. But you'll also notice at the end that the pictures get washed away. I felt the need to have all the evidence be removed so that it was a memory that remained only with these kids, and they realize this is a secret for themselves.
Well, David Wiesner, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
David Wiesner's book is titled Flotsam, and you can see some illustrations from the book at our website, npr.org.